Amazing me, amazing you. Hi everybody, greetings from the south coast of Ireland and welcome to the Amazing Me, Amazing You podcast. I'm Steph O'F. As a relationship therapist, I am passionate about the practice of self-love and the value in creating and nurturing a loving relationship with ourselves, an unconditionally loving relationship, so that our love for ourselves is a constant in our lives, regardless of where we are, what we're doing, how we're feeling, who we're with, that we always have that loving relationship with ourselves. In today's podcast, I'm going to share with you my early experience when I returned to college and the difficult questions that were put to me on that very first day and how these questions led to my fascination and my commitment to the practice of self-observation, which is one of the cornerstones to developing a loving relationship with ourselves. So back to day one in college, I skipped in that morning, very excited, definitely feeling a little nervous, but mostly excited to be starting this new chapter in my life. That was until the lecture began, because the opening question was, do you love yourself? And I was instantly uncomfortable. Here I was, having signed up for 4 years, and this was the opening question. I was a little bit shook. Now, admittedly, yes, it was in the psychology department, but I just hadn't anticipated being asked this question so early on in the course, within a few minutes of the class starting. And I remember at the time thinking, okay, will I just forego my registration fee because I hadn't yet paid my fees in full? That's how uncomfortable I was with the question. I considered it to be, I think, a hugely personal question and a rude question and a thoughtless question to throw out to a group of people that had never met one another until that morning. In fairness, I know I would have been uncomfortable with the question in any setting, because all my life growing up, and especially as a kid, I remember if somebody said, do you know her? She loves herself. It was a totally derogatory comment, a definite insult, suggesting they were too big for their boots and vain and full of themselves and definitely not likable and somebody just wouldn't want to have anything to do with. So there was a little remnant of probably that childhood experience that was triggered when I was asked that question in front of an entire group, you know, that it isn't really safe to love yourself. And still in all, as an adult, I had never previously been asked and I had never considered it. And if I had been asked, I probably would have thought, yeah, I do love myself. Now, I wouldn't have shouted it from the rooftops, but I was in a place that I felt happy in life and confident and loved my family and friends. And I would have guessed or assumed that, yes, I do love myself without actually saying it. So I may have felt it, but I definitely wouldn't have shared it with anyone. So it was a quiet, maybe self-conscious or a little embarrassed kind of love for myself, which of course wasn't real love at all. So now I want to ask you, do you love yourself? And how does it feel to be asked this question? Do you feel comfortable being asked, or do you feel as uncomfortable as I did? And how would it feel for you to say right now in this moment, yes, I do love me? Would it feel alien and embarrassing? Or would it feel heartwarming and nourishing and real? So there are no wrong answers to these questions, none whatsoever. I'm just inviting you to observe your response with love and kindness, as your response will help you know how comfortable you feel in saying, I love me in this moment. And also, it will help you discover your starting point on this self-love journey. For me, this question totally threw me. And as silence fell across the room, all I could think of was, what a weird question to ask a group of strangers. This is not a good icebreaker. And I shifted uncomfortably in my seat and the silence dragged on for what felt like forever. It was probably only 2 seconds, but I remember feeling, I am not going to be made feel uncomfortable here, which I obviously was, but I was so cross with the question. So I tried to sound casual and I blurted out, yeah. Note, I didn't actually say, yes, I do love myself. It was instead a deeply embarrassed and defensive, yeah. Then my yeah was met with silence as the lecturer looked kindly at me and held my uncomfortable gaze. And he smiled and nodded, encouraging me to continue. And in that moment, well, have you ever felt like you were digging a hole for yourself? Because that was one of those times for me. I remember feeling so embarrassed and gulping, probably really loudly, thinking, oh no, why did I have to say that? What have I started here? And the words scrambled around in my head as I tried to think of, okay, what do I say here to justify my yeah? How do I get out of this? And then I thought, okay, what do I like about myself? Not even love, but what do I like about myself? And then I had my answer. So I confidently said, yeah, I do, because I'm independent. And as soon as I said those words, I wished again I hadn't opened my mouth and I wished I could escape from the classroom. And I hoped dearly that the lecturer would just move on to the next student, but no such luck. He smiled again and nodded encouragingly once again. And so I continued digging that hole. And I said, I love that I'm independent and I don't really ask for help. And then he spoke and he asked me, would you love yourself less if you were asking for help? And this question stopped me completely in my tracks, because I realized that my answer was yes, in big capital letters, a giant yes. I had believed these traits were admirable and deserving of my love. And I realized I loved myself more and approved of myself more when I was feeling independent and feeling on top of all my work, which meant I loved myself less and approved of myself less when I felt snowed under with work and or dependent on others. And that shocking realization marked the beginning of my understanding what conditional love meant, and that the love for myself was conditional. And furthermore, my love for everyone else was conditional, most likely. Because how could I not judge someone who always asked for help if I considered never asking for help as admirable and worthy of my love? Do you know what I mean? So if I thought being independent deserved my love and my admiration, then I thought being dependent was not a good thing and did not deserve love. So if I was judging and criticizing myself for asking for help, I was unconsciously judging and criticizing others for asking for help. My mind was completely boggled, and that was the very first morning. So looking at that independent label that I had for myself just a little bit more, I thought at the time that being independent was certainly deserving of love. And yes, while being independent is wonderful and empowering, and I would encourage everyone to be independent, my version of independent was extreme. And this is where my learning opportunity lay. So I felt proud being fiercely independent, capable of doing everything myself and never asking for help. I mean, never. So growing up, I believed being independent was a super proud trait, like a superpower to have. And so I made it my own. However, somewhere along the way, I confused independence with never needing to ask for help. And they became the same intertwined label for me. Being independent meant I never needed to ask for help. Never needing to ask for help meant I was super independent, and I took great pride in both of them. Then as an adult, I continued to strengthen my independent label until I was completely backed into a corner, a self-created corner. I saw my asking for help as probably as a weakness, you know, or as a strong message to anyone around me that I wasn't able to manage here. And I had created my own crippling label, and I still carried it around with me and stuck with it. So even when I was snowed under with the business of life, with four small kids and laundry spilling out of baskets everywhere, and if it was a day when I was running behind and getting dinner ready, if a friend called over or called me and said, I can drop over dinner to you, I would have found it really hard to accept the offer of help. And I would most likely have said, no, no thanks. So my friend would have had to actually come to the door and hand me the dinner for me to accept it. I seriously resisted asking for help, and I seriously resisted accepting offers of help. And now in hindsight, which is always wonderful, I can see that this fiercely independent label was fierce and exhausting at times. And if I had been able to ask for help and accept help, I would have been showing myself far greater love. but I was committed to this extreme label of independence that didn't serve me well at all. And still, even now, even though it's many years since I began this journey and became aware of that label, and I'm generally very comfortable asking and accepting help, there are still an occasional day, depending on how well I've been looking after myself, that I can catch that reluctance in myself to ask for help, which I think is remarkable and a wonderful reminder that the labels we use to describe ourselves can be so limiting and so hard to completely let go, even when we know they no longer serve us. What I also found fascinating about my label of never asking for help was that while I had been completely unaware of my extreme label, my friends were very aware of it. And I discovered this one day during my course when I was cycling home from college, and I remembered I had something to pick up at the local shopping centre, and I realised I'd be under time pressure to pick it up before the shop closed. So with my newfound awareness and having learned of my reluctance and my discomfort in asking for help, I decided I'll try it out and call a friend and ask if they were anywhere near the shopping centre, could she pick it up for me? So I rang my friend and she picked up, and I said, "Hi, do you know what? I have something I have to collect in the shopping centre and I don't think I'll get there in time. Is there any way you could help me by picking it up?" And she just whooped down the phone, and all I could hear was this whoop-whoo and excitement in her voice. And I thought, what did she think I just said? And anyway, when she stopped the whooping, I said, "What do you think I just asked you?" And she said, "You just asked me for help." And I was gobsmacked. I said, "What?" I had never realised that my reluctance to ask for help was so transparent. And my friend was so excited for me and so delighted for me. So it was a massive revelation for me. I had this label for myself as independent, fiercely independent, and all the time I was sending out a very strong, fiercely strong message to the people I love in my life that, you know, I won't be accepting your help and I won't be asking for help. So identifying and then releasing these labels has been an extraordinary and still continues to be an extraordinary experience. And it doesn't happen overnight. So I didn't wake up the very next day after that first day and say, I'm going to ask for help all day today and for the rest of my life. Not at all. It was a really slow, thoughtful process. A slow uncovering, I suppose. And also a very affirming process, because each time I did ask someone for help, I had similar responses of course, thanks for asking. And it has hugely enriched my life. And also that day, as I cycled home from college, I had this sweeping, dawning realization of how conditional my love was for myself. So was I my own best friend? No, not at all. Was I always encouraging, loving, patient and understanding with myself? No, not at all. Was my love for myself conditional? 100% conditional. And so I'd ask you now to ask yourself, are you your own best friend? Are you always encouraging, loving, patient and understanding with yourself? And is your love for yourself unconditional? In the next instant for me, as I was cycling, you can tell I did a lot of my thinking and processing as I cycled. I wondered, as a mum of four treasures, what was I role modelling for them? So was I role modelling to only love yourself when certain conditions were met? To only love yourself when everything was running smoothly? And this idea totally freaked me out, because I wanted my kids to grow up loving themselves no matter what. So even though that very first day I felt indignant and shocked at being asked that question, do you love yourself, all those years ago, I am so grateful now that I was asked, because a little seed of curiosity was planted, and the seed was a question and a longing as well in itself, because I remember thinking, okay, how do I return or arrive at a place of feeling unconditional love for myself, so that if anyone ever asks me, do I love myself again in the future, I really want to be able to say, yes, I do, and wholeheartedly mean it. And so began my journey of learning how to practice self-love in my everyday life. So just checking in with yourself, what are the words or the labels you'd use to describe yourself? And you can grab a pen and paper if you like, because for me, writing out my thoughts and feelings allows everything to flow so much more freely. But whatever suits you, whatever's right for you. So are the words loving and supportive? Are the words and labels you'd use to describe yourself kind and encouraging? Are they serving you well, or are they making life harder for you? Are they restrictive, like my independent label, restricting your freedom to express yourself fully, like for me, restricting me from asking for help? And then how often do you live through these words or labels? How often do you communicate these labels with ourselves and with others in our lives? And how can we begin to identify and soften the labels that no longer serve us? For me, to help me identify what labels I have for myself, I generally look at the extremes I use in my own language. So when do I use the words never or always? Because these words highlight for me where I might be a little bit hard on myself and making life a little bit more difficult than necessary for myself. And only the other day, another revelation I thought, oh my goodness, all these years later, and it's a small one, but it was still a fantastic example for me, that I was out walking in the woods with my husband and our dog, and I saw this beautiful, vibrant green moss on trees. And I asked my husband if I could borrow his phone to take a photo that I might use on my Instagram. So I took the photo and my husband said, did you get a nice one? And I said, oh, it's a little dark actually, because the light wasn't coming in to show how vivid a green the moss was. And my husband said, oh, you could use a filter. And my response was just, And then he said exactly what I was thinking. And what I was thinking was, I never use filters. And he said, are you just thinking you never use filters? And we both just laughed, because that's exactly what I was thinking. And I realized, oh my goodness, all these years later, I'm still boxing myself in with these rules or these labels, that I had this totally unconscious rule for myself to never use a filter in my photographs. Because I wanted to be able to say, if anyone, whoever, ever asked me about my photos, that I'd be able to answer, no, I've never used a filter. And in that moment, I realized, like, who made up this rule for me? Me. And how does it serve me? It doesn't serve me at all. And who cares whether or not there's a filter on my photos? No one but myself. So my extreme rule for myself of I never use filters for the last number of years of Instagram photos just make life harder for me, because I'm waiting for the perfect light. And it just makes things more difficult. Now, I still didn't take the photo that day, but it did strike me that here I am learning about labels and rules that I'm still creating for myself. So it is definitely a lifelong journey. And I may choose to soften up on that rule about the filters, but at least now I'm a little more aware of how I am with myself, and I can choose to keep or soften this self-created rule. And I think that's the magic of this journey, is that we create a choice for ourselves and we recognize that we have a choice for ourselves. And what I find remarkable about this whole self-loving journey is that it is rooted entirely in compassion and kindness. And as students way back then, we were encouraged to observe ourselves without judgment. So I'd encourage you also to, you know, just observe yourselves with a curiosity and a compassion. So the process isn't about changing who we are. The process is about uncovering and rediscovering who we are, getting to know ourselves once again, our authentic selves behind the masks and the labels that we're wearing, understanding ourselves and loving ourselves unconditionally. And this makes so much more sense to me, because if I felt I needed to change, then I'm sending a message to myself that I'm not good enough. Whereas when I'm observing myself with compassion and curiosity, the message I'm sending myself is, I would love to understand myself, to get to know me, to understand my feelings, my triggers, my relationships, myself. And in my experience, self-observing without judgment creates this beautiful, magical space for me to become conscious of my relationship with myself. And very naturally, my relationship with myself began to soften, which led to a softening in all my relationships. And remarkably, even in the relationships I was finding most challenging at the time. And that's what this journey is all about. It's about love and compassion, not judgment. Not comparing ourselves with others, but a growing appreciation, knowing that we are doing our very best and we are deserving of our unconditional love. Thank you for listening and wishing you a wonderful day of self-love practice.